Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I am so excited about my guest today because we're going to be talking about AI. I love this. I love new tech. I'm always one of those people that likes tinkering around. I'm not one of the early adopters, but I always like this. And I love how much potential there is in using AI in our businesses. So please join me in welcoming James Taylor for our program today. Welcome, James. How are you?
Hi, Deb. Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Pretty excited. Pretty excited by this. I'd like to chat about my favorite topic.
Very cool. And of course, you are across the pond from me, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm in England and yes, it's raining and it's gray.
It's that here too. So, yeah.
But yeah, it's okay. It allows me to sit inside and do more work, I guess.
I know. Otherwise, we'd want to be outside playing. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we'll jump into this. So James Taylor is the founder of POW Leads in the UK, an enterprise dedicated to revolutionizing business automation and AI-driven content creation. With a rich background in marketing, automation, video, animation, and a keen interest in AI, he's now focusing on empowering companies with technological advancements and educational programs to enhance brand presence across platforms like LinkedIn and TikTok. As an entrepreneur from the age of 14 and a world traveler, James is committed to simplifying content creation with innovative AI tools, believing in the philosophy of selling shovels during the gold rush. So I love it. Welcome, James.
Thank you. Thank you. That was such a good intro.
I know. See, it's, you know, and I believe it was generated by AI, right?
Oh, was it? Oh, yes, it was.
I think you said it was. Well, now, of course, my first question before we really jump into this is this you or is this an AI generated, James?
This is definitely me. It's 100% me. But you're right to question it because I think we're only a few months, maybe a year away from it being almost impossible to tell the difference, even voice and video. So you're definitely right in order to question.
I love it. I love it. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. How is it that you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So, when I was 14 years old, I went on eBay and I started doing a drop shipping company drop shipping from China and printing on pencil cases and these little things and everything, and putting, like, I think at the time it was JLS and Justin Bieber when he was super young, onto like pencil cases. And yeah, I made a really decent amount of money for a 14-year-old, and kind of started learning about marketing tactics, and then very drastically learned very quickly that a lot of brands don't want you to illegally print.
Justin gets annoyed when you put his picture on things. Mm-hmm.
So I had a cease and desist from Suzuki, ooh, which weirdly was my father's company. Mm-hmm. He worked for Suzuki, and he messaged me saying, "Is this you selling lighters with Suzuki branding on it?" And I was like, "Yes, it was." So that was my first lesson in actually understanding. There's
dinner for you that night, right?
No, definitely not. I went to bed very hungry. But it was so I started doing that, and then I started doing PPC ads and everything, which was quite strange because I'm dyslexic. So I think they employed me in order to figure out the keywords that most people spell wrong. And so that was quite fun for a bit. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to become a helicopter pilot in the army. And the only way to do that is to get a degree and then go into officer training.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I decided to pick just the easiest.
no degree for you.
Yeah, I just thought there was the easiest subject for me was media production, so video creation. And I went all the way to Bolton University, which is all the way up in the north of England. Mm-hmm. And I live in the south, and studied there for 3 years, making music videos and ads and things like that. And then created a company from there. Then I think it's kind of fuzzy a little bit. I think I made a music business. So I started to go for seed round funding, which I didn't achieve. So I'm very happy to reveal my failed attempts, because
we learn from them, right?
Like, it's so important. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of these people who say that they've made a million in like 2 minutes on their first go. Mm-hmm. It's not the case.
No.
I messed up there, but it was really interesting to work in a whole different area. Mm-hmm. Then I started to go into animation. Mm. And then I moved to Thailand for about 2 or 3 years. Mm. And I started traveling around Thailand, Vietnam, and Bali. Mm. And just basically did animation working from home. So this is before the pandemic, before it was cool to work at home. Uh-huh. And so everyone thought that I didn't really have a business because I worked.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, James.
They're like, oh yeah, you work. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's fine. You can work at home. So I started doing that. And then I realized very quickly that people didn't know what to do with those videos.
Right.
They weren't using them correctly, so they were spending thousands with me. Mm-hmm. To make an animation, and then not really doing much. They were using it internally, the big the big oil company in America. I can't remember what it's called now.
Conoco, Phillips, Exxon.
Exxon.
Okay.
So I made some videos and animations for those guys, and they had no idea what to do with them. Mm-hmm. So I started charging more in order to teach them how to actually market. And then in the end, I started like Power Leads. Mm-hmm. So I started Power Leads and got them and started kind of figuring out strategies. Mm-hmm. And using pretty much every form, like SEO, mm-hmm. PPC, and working with local businesses and bigger kind of businesses, and even like course creators now. Mm-hmm. And then I started to use creating a software. Mm-hmm. So that we can kind of automate some of the processes, like the email, the SMS, right. The, mm-hmm. the general CMS system and everything. And we got really good at that. And now recently, I think last year, AI started exploding out, and I realized how much automation I have set for myself. Mm-hmm. I've created so many automations. Mm-hmm. to automate, because I think I'm just inherently lazy, and
you're busy. You're very busy. Yeah. That's what it is.
And I kept on thinking, how can I do this without employing a bunch of people to do it? Mm-hmm. And no, you can't fully replace everything. Mm-hmm. But those automations can help the people that you do employ. Mm-hmm. And just make things a little bit easier. So simple things like newsletters and mm-hmm. and ripping data or something. Mm-hmm. A lot of that can now be automated. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited by automation. Mm-hmm. And then AI came out. Mm-hmm. And I decided this is the time where I need to combine my skills in mm-hmm. video production and content creation. Mm-hmm. And actually start recording myself doing daily, every 48 hours, like a small short video, mm-hmm. and producing blogs. And the only way to do that without £100,000 budget is to use AI. Mm-hmm. So I started using it with a few clients, mm-hmm. and then I made a free course, and now I've made an AI tool that is helping my current clients. Mm-hmm. And then I thought if it's useful to them, then I might as well release it out there for free for everyone else. So so that's my story.
I love it.
Is that the end of the power hour?
No. Okay, we're done.
We're done? Yep. Okay.
Great. You know, it's...
Oh, no.
I love that because, you know, you just kept doing the next thing. You know, this comes along. And so it was kind of a natural progression, which I love. You know, were your parents technical? I mean, you know, you mentioned that your dad worked for Suzuki. Or, you know, how is it that you were initially interested in all of this? Now, you are that generation, I understand, where, you know, you were born with computers in your hands. But, is it, you know, was it something that obviously it kind of comes naturally to you?
Yeah, I think, so I'm 34. So I was around when the first phones were out, when the first Windows 95, I think, was out. And I still remember having the black screen and coding. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the millennial generation whereby it's there's a very big nostalgic feel to almost everything. So we're still not great at like simply understanding mm-hmm. like the newest software. So a lot of my friends won't be able to understand some software as quickly as I can, mm-hmm. simply because I've always been very interested mm-hmm. in how software works mm-hmm. and being lazy and using it like to improve a subject.
I love it. You know, and it's really not that, okay, I'm lazy on occasion too. So I get that, but it is more about how it can we more efficiently use our time. You know, I've shared this before. One of the things I hate the most is invoicing. I hate invoicing. And, you know, and I invoice everybody the same amount. I mean, this is a simple process, right? I hate it. I had clients call me and say, you haven't invoiced us in a while.
Oh, that's nice of
you. It's kind of embarrassing, right? And so when I discovered that I could automate my invoicing, I was thrilled. Now, you know, do I have to go in and make sure, you know, that there wasn't anything extra that we needed to add? Yes. But for the most part, it's the same invoice that goes out on the last day of the month to every single client. And so it makes sense to automate that, you know, and why would I want to pay somebody to do that? You know, because I thought it was really boring, which is part of why I didn't want to do it. It's going to be boring for them. So, you know, freeing them up to be doing something else, I think is the important thing too.
Yeah, I think just having the ability to, so I think PayPal is one of the greatest examples of combining automation with humans. Mm-hmm. So when PayPal first came out, they tried to automate everything, mm-hmm. in particularly the fraud department. Mm-hmm. So what they tried to do is fully automate the whole thing, and it just failed dramatically.
Right.
So, and they weren't going to, they couldn't really afford at that time to fully go and have 100,000 mm-hmm. errors and then employ 20,000 people in order to do that. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they halved that. Mm-hmm. So they took half of, they had a process whereby mm-hmm. it still had a human input. So mm-hmm. it would do 80% of the work automatic. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the same thing as what AI mm-hmm. will be used for.
Right.
And is how my tool works actually as well. So mm-hmm. 80% of it is automatic, and then 20% of it needs to be a actual human being mm-hmm. with a critical thinking mind right. and creativity to right. actually figure out what's going right. on. So,
well, and it needs a human at the start to kind of, yeah. you know, begin the process.
Yeah. And you need to, so it comes down to this same idea of with AI combined with humans interaction. So a lot of the videos that I make at the moment, I can get a tool to, so the AI tool that I've got basically can take a document or like a blog post or another competition's YouTube transcript, mm-hmm. Take that and then basically rewrite it into multiple other things, like including mm-hmm. the script. Mm-hmm. However, I say very clearly that if you want to get in front of people and be original mm-hmm. and for people to trust you, you need to edit that script.
Right.
Like, edit mm-hmm. that and add. So what I always do is have the script, mm-hmm. Read it through, mm-hmm. maybe change a few things like buzzwords, which I find right. a little bit mm-hmm. like corny. Mm-hmm. So I
don't or something, like yeah, buzzwords. Something you would not say. So
yeah, exactly. And then, but then about halfway, one third or two thirds through, I would put a paragraph of this is how I personally use it, and mm-hmm. I write that out.
Right.
The thing is I'm it's still not completely automatic, mm-hmm. yes, but the point is that it's created a structure for me, mm-hmm. which probably right. saves so much brain time. Mm-hmm. And for you to just go, right, okay, mm-hmm. I've got this, I'll just edit this part. Mm-hmm. And then you can go and focus on the other more important mm-hmm. things right. in the business. So it's a nice way of mm-hmm. using
yeah.
it.
You know, when I use it, and I use the free version of ChatGPT, because I'm big on if the free version does it, then why pay, right? But, you know, if it's something fairly simple, then, you know, I have discovered I don't have to rewrite it. You know, I was working on product descriptions. And what I love about it is it writes much better than I do. I will freely admit that it writes better than I do. You know, that a while ago would have been an insult, but now I'm like, cool. and so, you know, I had like a paragraph product description. This product does yada, 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 right? And so then I put that into ChatGPT and I say, please rewrite. And I didn't even have to tell it really much besides just rewrite. And I like it when it types. And so, you know, you watch it and it's like, okay, that sounds much better. And, you know, but like when I do blog posts that way, I do exactly what you said. I go back through and I'm like, nah, that's not how I'd say it.
Yeah.
I would do this a little bit differently, whatever it is, so that it knows. Now, you know, could it learn from me? Sure. I mean, that is one of the things that, you know, people are saying, but it's to me, it's speeding up the process.
Yeah. And I think there are ways to gigantically improve the output, even mm-hmm. on using the free version mm-hmm. 3.5. So a quick tip would be in ChatGPT, there's a little settings area and mm-hmm. it goes to system. And in that you can kind of train it. So you can give it examples mm-hmm. of things that you have fully written mm-hmm. yourself. In right. order for it to mm-hmm. do it. So always just remember giving it examples is really mm-hmm. good. The other thing which almost nobody knows about is ranking. So it's how our human brains kind of work in order to determine whether or not someone mm-hmm. is lying or is mm-hmm. Or if you trust something. Mm-hmm. So normally how our brains work is we get information in and then we rank it in our head mm-hmm. determined by the information we've previously learned. Right. So that's how cognitive
we believe bias. It, we don't believe it, things like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So and the AI is the same kind of thing. So if you just say at the end of each one of your prompts when it gives you something, so it gives you this big blog or social post or whatever, just say afterwards, rank this out of 10 on these factors. Mm-hmm. So on how truthful it is, mm-hmm. how correct it is, and how it goes with my style mm-hmm. or tone. Mm-hmm. And then when it'll rank itself out of 10, it'll mm-hmm. go, oh, this is a 7 out of 10 or 8 mm-hmm. out of 10. And then you say, make it a 10 out of 10.
Right. Improve this.
And then it will come back with incredible results. It will go and second guess itself. Mm-hmm. I think that advice is probably one of the best things that you can do currently. And that advice is probably good for about 4 months. So mm-hmm. I know you said that this podcast goes out.
I know it's incredible how rapidly it's advancing.
Yeah. So when ChatGPT 5 comes out, it's going to be automatic mm-hmm. In terms of its self ranking ability. Right. Mm-hmm. For now, that takes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny. I had somebody who teaches people how to use ChatGPT. She said, treat it like you would a person. And so she said, you're almost having a conversation with it. And so she said, but more importantly, be polite to it. And is really strange where, if you say, please, thank you, oh my gosh, that was great, it does seem to give you a little bit different responses than if you just say, do this, do that.
I don't know why they put that in. It's amazing. I do it just in case they take over the future and they
look I want the robots to go, she was nice to us.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all right. He was an all right guy. So like, he gets a nice house.
Right. We're not going to turn off his lights off and on in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, it comes back to it is just simplifying my time. You know, and it really is incredible what it does. You know, and I can see why people are scared of it. You know, we were kind of laughing at the very start about, you know, is this you or is this AI? And, you know, I'm in Atlanta, which is the second largest place where movies and things are made here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so the Screen Actors, the writers, and then of course the actors are very concerned about what could be happening. And I see why. Right now, it doesn't have that capability. I mean, you know, you can tell, okay, this is an AI generated person, or, you know, when it's reading, we were laughing about this in a mastermind earlier today. It was, you know, they were talking about a book that had clearly been read by an AI generator because there was absolutely no inflection. It's going to learn how to do that. I mean, that's the thing. And so I can see why people are scared about this.
Yeah. So what's happening now? So one film to watch is The Creator, mm-hmm. and there's that's a new thing. I think it's on Prime, mm-hmm. and in that they sell people's likeness. Mm-hmm. So you get scanned physically, mm-hmm. and your voice gets scanned. Your kind of personality essentially gets scanned, and then that is a piece of data to sell,
right?
To Amazon or whoever. Mm-hmm. Whoever. So I think that will be something that's coming out at some stage, mm-hmm. and that's already been happening in Disney. Mm-hmm. So Disney, we've got a few actors that have already died in real life.
Right. I mean, how many years ago did Jim Candy die? Did I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they created a digital version of him.
Yeah.
You know, now
we own the rights to that.
You knew it was a digital image. But it was, you know, even back then, it was pretty good. You know, and there was a thing not long ago with Robin Williams' family where they had some company had digitally created a version of him. And they were like, no, this is not okay. You know, no. And it is a little weird when they're dead. I mean, it's just, but you know, if that's how you make your living, that's when it gets scary.
So that's where there'll be a different type of contract. So it'll be, I think Disney's already starting to use it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's another series called Black Mirror, mm-hmm. Which is very famous for sci-fi and the future. It predicts like future events. And there's a particular episode, I think in the newest ones, mm-hmm. whereby the whole film is digitally made. Mm-hmm. So every single shot, mm-hmm. is digitally made. The people inside it, they think they are who they are. However, they're a simulation.
Right? Yeah. Am I real?
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't think it's too far off of physically scanning, doing a very simple scan of your face and how you act. There's already HeyGen, so I think if you're near a computer, anyone, mm-hmm. go and check out HeyGen. Mm-hmm. So that's scary in itself. It can take 5 photos, I think, of your face and almost create a perfect avatar. And the voice stuff is going, mm-hmm. crazy at the moment. So
right.
I think you said earlier about the inflection. Mm-hmm. So what it can do now is record you doing inflections using your voice. Mm-hmm. Then use somebody else's voice in order to create those inflections. Mm-hmm. So it's not only using their voice. So you could have Donald Trump or something, mm-hmm. like that, and you could use your voice and read out something, and it will read your inflections, mm-hmm. and therefore create an almost perfect copy of the voice,
right?
Using.
And we've actually seen that over here with our election, where people were getting robocalls from, you know, wow, a very Joe Biden sounding voice. And it was saying there's no need to go vote. You know, and I mean, if you're a little older, especially, and not, you know, not familiar with it, you're going to believe that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it doesn't matter who the candidate is or what, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, if it was, say, a celebrity saying, go out in the street and play basketball. Okay. You know, well, Michael Jordan tells me to do that, I might go do that.
I'll do anything.
But yeah. You know, and you're, you know, you might follow, you know, one of the, now I know you call it football, but I call it soccer. You know, so, you know, some of those folks, but, you know, it's, so how do we, and I don't even know if there's an answer to this, how do we differentiate? I mean, how can we tell? Long ago, there was a commercial. Is it real or is it Memorex? And, you know, and it really was, you know, is it live or is it recorded, was basically what it was saying.
Yeah. So I honestly don't have I have told my mother, if I ever call you, mm-hmm, and I'm asking for money,
mm-hmm,
you to go and get vouchers or something, mm-hmm, like that from, or whatever right, the scammers, mm-hmm, do, that if I'm saying that, I like, here's the keyword that I'm, mm-hmm, going to use, mm-hmm, because people like, I guess, us that are more on the internet, and you have lots of your voice,
right, data. There's a lot of examples of us, yeah, that are out there.
Exactly. So, and the more that's out there, the more that can be copied. Right. So I guess for the general public, probably don't do punk podcasts, I guess.
I know. Yeah. Like, oh no.
But I think it's more like, I think there will be in the future a way. So all of the tools like 11 Labs, which is the best known, that I know of anyway, voice generation, mm-hmm, I'm pretty sure that they put a code within their frequency. Mm-hmm. So you can put codes within frequencies in order for other systems to understand, mm-hmm, whether or not it's fake. Right. So I think there will be AI in order to identify AI. Mm-hmm. And there's right, a lot.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, the teachers are worried about plagiarism, right? Well, that has happened since I was in school. I got out my Encyclopedia Britannicas. Now, I didn't do this, but people could, right? And just copy it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that's always happened. But the key now is there is software. So you can run it through there and it can go, no. You know, this was not their original work.
But
or it's 80% original or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But there's also software to stop that. Mm-hmm. So it's like a war going on. It's right, like a war between people who are trying to create tools to get past the tools, and then people who are trying to create tools to. And it's the same thing with security and viruses and things like that. Mm-hmm. There will be inevitably this kind right, of
the people who sit, and I always say, you know, the people who are sitting in their mom's basement working on code, they're going to try and get around it.
Yeah,
just, you know, that's just going to be the way it happens. The black hat folks are going to be the black hat folks forever.
Yeah, very true. I think it's going to be an interesting world, and I think people are. I think we are ready for it more than what, mm-hmm, people think.
Right.
That people who are creating this, like I said, they're it's both sides. It's, mm-hmm, the same nukes and guns and things like that. The opposition is going to tackle back the exact same way. Mm-hmm. There's not always going to be a gigantic jump where it's right, impossible to beat it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's a future that we cannot predict.
No,
so,
and that genie is out of the bottle, though. You know, for everybody saying we have to stop this, that's not going to happen. I mean, you know,
exactly.
It's out there.
So I think there's going to be a lot of people kind of a bit worried about everything, mm-hmm, and rightly so. And I don't have children, but I would be a little bit worried about what they're going to teach in schools and everything. In my day, it was very important to learn coding, I 100% believe that there is no point in learning coding whatsoever. There is no point. So that used to be a really high-end job and like a really important thing to learn. It was one of those things that, you know, all the gurus said, like, if you're going to learn anything, don't bother with a language, learn coding. Right. Language.
You learn, yeah, learn the computer language.
Yeah, and now I don't think it's necessary anymore. I think it's the ability to talk to AI is going to be
and even just basic things. I mean, you know, I do website development, and when we started, we had to know HTML coding. I hated that. You know, it's like, how do I make this font bigger? you know, and all of that stuff. And now, you know, if somebody doesn't use something like a WordPress site and all, like, seriously, you know, and even for really big, sophisticated systems, you know, and because originally it started, obviously, for the little guys who couldn't pay, you know, they didn't have the big budgets. And so it was kind of the do-it-yourself type of things. But of course, as it got more sophisticated, then, you know, then it grew. But, you know, that comes back. It's like we were saying, it made our life easier. You know, I don't have to know how to make, you know, what is the code for bold? I click the button, right? You know? And, you know, it's like, that's, you know, why do I need to know, you know, and it annoys me if I have to actually figure out how to do HTML. But of course, what do? I Google it, you know, and then you get 9 million answers on how to do that. But, you know, it's, but, you know, you were talking about when you were a kid, I did not touch a computer till I was in college. Now that shows you my age, you know, but it also shows that we can learn to do these, you know, and now I think changes are coming much more rapidly, you know, because technology is doing its own changes, right? AI is probably doing its own work. But, you know, it just means we just have to adapt and go along with it. And again, accept this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. But I think it's quite exciting, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've never had the ability to be able to, I've never been able to code at building this AI SaaS. I'm using a combination of like Go High Level, make.com, which is essentially like a complicated Zapier, and just WordPress, and just like the user kind of thing there.
Right.
Within make.com, it's got about 9 or 10 very like crazy like prompts and AI stuff, which, yes, you do need to be skilled in understanding prompts and everything and prompt engineering to kind of get the output as good as it is. But I didn't have to learn too much coding. I still had to learn about like APIs and stuff like that. So there were a few hours, and I think I spent 13 hours and had about 6 cups of coffee doing one little section. But I love kind of falling into a focus trance where time just disappears. And it's beautiful to kind of do that.
Right.
Have you had that before happen to you?
You know, I'm always the one that breaks things, and I always have been. I mean, you know, it's, and somebody was asking me the other day, you know, they were asking me how to do WordPress. And I said, okay, I do this and this. I said, however, I basically keep somebody on retainer for when I break stuff. But that goes back years ago. I mean, 35-ish years ago, I worked for a company. And we designed computer software, and the software we designed was for NASA and for the Navy. So we were government contractors, and the people I worked with were really, really smart people. And that was not, I ran the office. I did all of that stuff. Right. Now I'm not saying I'm not smart, but they were the really, really smart people. But it was always so funny because when they were finished with whatever, they would give it to me. And they would say, break it. And I always could. And, you know, and it was because I would do the things that were unexpected. You know, like just accidentally hit a key combination that, you know, was going to do something, or, you know, ask it to do something that it couldn't do, all of these things. And, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, that was actually very valuable. Now I had to remember what I had done to break it so they could fix it. But, you know, it is something that we have always had to have. And you know, I'm pretty sure that they've got, you know, I mean, this is why we have crash test dummies, right? You know, they want to see what's going to happen when this happens with this car. And they really don't want people getting all beat up. And so they have dummies that are in there. So, you know, the testing part is just as important as the actual developing part. And so that's me. I'm the break it person. Yeah, and there are times where we're like, I have no idea. It turned purple and I don't know why it turned purple. And you know, it's just purple.
That's the worst thing when you break something and then you give it to the developer or something. They're like, exactly what did you do? Can you redo it? And then if you can't redo it, then you know, they do not. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, I guess it's just a mystery.
Well, and sometimes it really does just happen that one time.
That's true.
You know, but yeah, it's kind of like when you go into the car mechanic and you say it's going bunga da bunga da bunga da, and they can't make it go bunga da bunga da again. They're like, we don't know what to tell you. You know, but yeah, it is fascinating to watch all of this, like we were saying, and to see how rapidly. Because it's only been, you know, now I, you know, what, 2-ish years since we really started doing AI. Now, I wonder, I think COVID probably pushed that along a little because people were home, right? Had nothing to do. So, whoo, hey, let's make this thing. But, you know, it is just in 2 years, the difference that has come about has been incredible.
I think one of the best things to see is just type in Will Smith eating spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a year and a half ago or something. And then type in Sora video. Mm-hmm. And that's the new thing created by ChatGPT, mm-hmm. OpenAI. Mm-hmm. And the videos from there are absolutely astounding. Right. Like it used to cost me about 3,000 to 4,000 or something to get a drone shot of like a cliff or something like that, or in a big video or something. Now I can just type it into Sora, mm-hmm. and it will make that mm-hmm. perfectly. And okay. I can kind of figure out which way the drone goes, mm-hmm. and all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. So that's now. And so the jump between that in 18 months is kind of terrifying, but
mm-hmm. right.
Fascinating. Well,
and if you're a company that provided drones, you're thinking, what the heck?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with, so one of my services that I do is I obviously have this video tool that creates all of the image prompts, mm-hmm. and each 4 second of the video, and then it's about combining it, so mm-hmm. putting it together. So I have VAs that are from all over the world,
right.
And they are used to doing things that a normal VA would do, mm-hmm. which is like data collection and social media mm-hmm. posting, incredibly basic stuff, which back when they were first trained, you know, like 3 years ago or right. something.
It was very skilled. Mm-hmm.
They had to do it because there is no other software, or you would need about 20 different mm-hmm. bits of software to do it. Now, so I have a course called The Content Alchemist, mm-hmm. and the whole point of that is basically how to train a VA in order to use AI tools. Ooh. In order to do things that mm-hmm. someone, which mm-hmm. instead of paying a massive video production company or a social media mm-hmm. company to create all the content, they can now do it, because right. the barrier before was obviously is the ability to write content mm-hmm. Properly, kind of thing.
Right. But and, and what we're doing is that person that can now do that, they can do it in half an hour, just randomly throwing out a number. And maybe it would have taken them 5 hours before. And so people are like, well, okay. But then what that means is they can now do 10 in the span that they could have done one before.
Exactly. And in this world where you need three posts a day, mm-hmm. Using carousels, and so quick shout out is Post Nitro. So mm-hmm. it's a tool I found mm-hmm. 2 days ago, and it's completely free, mm-hmm. and I'm not affiliated with it, but it's just incredible. So you can put in a blog post and it'll create a carousel mm-hmm. With beautiful images, and it's just brilliant. So
okay, so I'm typing that in so that I can look at it later. Nitro. Okay. Very cool. Yep. Yeah. Free AI. That's what it said. Free.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and like we said, if it's free, try it first, folks. There might be a paid version. I mean, like ChatGPT, there is a paid version. Canva. I love Canva, right? Because it makes me actually look like I can be creative. You know, and so, but yeah, try the free version first.
And I think Zapier. So I'll have to, I'll add a link. I'll send a link to you. So there's this Zapier ability. So Zapier is normally 3,000 a month or something to get unlimited zaps. I found a way to get it for $29 a month. So I'll send you that. And having Zapier or make.com, now they have AI. So you could say something like any emails that fall into this folder, please read it out to me or send me an email with a summary of it.
Right.
Things like that, that normally you'd get a virtual assistant to do for you, can be done pretty easily through a simple automation. And now it's really easy to set up those automations. So there's so many tools out there. I could go on and on about them.
Well, and it really is to make our lives better. Yeah, it's scary and things, but you know what? They've probably been saying that all along with anything. You know, but you know, you've got information on your website, and we'll talk about that later, about, you know, again, automating things. So, you know, say you have a product and you get the same five questions anytime somebody is interested. Okay, do you want to send an email to all of those answering those five, or do you want to automate that? And it can even be that you're going to talk to them about it. You're maybe going to do a little video, because we like seeing people on video, right? And so you're going to say, you probably have questions. Here's the top five questions that we get. And, you know, and most of the time you might answer everything they did, but then you can say, need something more? Contact us. And, you know, and then through your, through the systems, it's going to go, okay, this is, this still needs a, you know, can be automated. Or this one might actually need a real person, you know, and so it goes through all of that. So it's not replacing people. It's just giving them better opportunities to do what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's being strategic with the AI and always having the option to talk to a real human. So a lot of so there's a chatbot on my site, and I've trained it with every feature that Power Leads can do, and some of the frequently asked questions. And sometimes the bot will come back, and someone like yourself, Deb, will try and break it.
I do. I love it when I can break somebody's chatbot.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh.
I put it
in a loop. It got confused.
But that's what we want to see. We want to see that as business people, to find out the questions which we want to be answered. So if there's a lot of questions that say if you have an AI chat bot, right, and you're getting loads of questions which you never thought were even viable to your business. One, you can put those questions as an FAQ on your front page of your website. Two, you can then start making lead magnets, which are using like AI. So there's an incredible tool called formwise.ai. And what that does is create a survey. So on my site, I've got who is your target market? What software are you currently using? And what are your sales or something like that? And all that does is throw that into AI, and it's like a automatic automatic GPT. So it's an automatic reaction. It clicks it. 10 seconds later, they've got an exactly how every feature of my software can be used to make the perfect marketing strategy for that target market. Now, and that's cost me nothing in order to like give that information across. But to the client, it's so much value.
Right.
And it's important. They know it's AI, obviously. So it's kind of like it's creating the seed, and then it's obviously right. So they filled that out. Then it goes into my Power Lead system, and then notifies another workflow to send off to go like, oh, they were interested in that. This is what was written, and then maybe I can set up a call or something like that, whereby I'd have an automated system to leave them a voicemail with my voice on it saying, hey, notice that you got this and the strategy is on here. And yeah, and then we can start the initial booking. So there's a lot that can be done without a human being involved. And when the human being is involved, they've got all of the data.
They asked this, and this, you know, all those things. Well, and the cool thing is you're weeding out a lot of the people that were not, you know, maybe it was a price point, maybe it was the they wanted different features that you didn't have, something like that. And so it's not that you're not wasting your time, but you're not wasting your time in answering their questions. So they've kind of self-eliminated themselves. You know, and it could be that, you know, that if it gets down to that far, you can either say, okay, this tool isn't for you. I'd like to suggest this instead, because that's always fun when you can, you know, give them, you know, because then they're happy. Or you can say, stay tuned. Maybe we'll add that feature.
Maybe we will.
Yeah. Like- you know, and so, because I think that is from the sales perspective, that's where we waste a lot of time, is answering either the repetitive questions or the ones where they're not wanting to buy from us, you know, whatever reason it is. And usually it is a price point, you know, and so, you know, if it's like, okay, what are you willing to spend to do this? And if they say $5 and your price point is 500, that's not going to work. but it could be that then it says, you know, here's a great ebook or tool that you can use that will help you through that process. So again, you help them without saying, hey, you putz, you don't got enough money. You know, because we don't want people to go, oh, this was horrible.
Yeah, exactly. You want them to leave with something, like, even if it be a free, honestly, there's been a few times when I've suggested other competition, which aren't really my competition. I'm just like, I go, honestly, go over there.
Right. I know they can do what you need. And so just go check
like, them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're better at setting you up for podcasts, or they're better at setting you up for a PPC campaign in this particular niche. And like, they are so happy that you're honest about it.
And then they'll come back to you because you made them happy.
And the amount of times, even being on a phone call with someone and coming up with a little strategy, and I don't hear them again, hear from them again, they've managed to get through my entire kind of process and all of my, like you said, like how much budget and everything you have. And they still get past all of that. They get on the phone call. I'm still like, look, I'm still going to go for 15 minutes because this is fun. Like, to me, it's really fun to kind of jest tools and get the kind of wow from someone. And they go like, oh my God, I've never
opened something. Well, and it gives you ideas of things that they find valuable, things, you know, features that they might want, all of those things. And again, they leave happy, whether they buy from you or not. And so they might come back. They also are going to go, oh my God, I talked to this guy, James Taylor. You need to talk to him. But a lot of that, like you said, that was all automated up to a certain point. And the automated part might have said, hey, you know, go to here instead. That's okay. Yeah.
And I think you can also, there's also automation after the point. So there's automation after onboarding onto something. So if they're onboarding onto a service, so say if we've just set them up with a VA, and the VA is now being trained in their brand and everything and starting to learn all of the AI tools that they want them to do, I'd then simply just drag them into in the CMS system, drag them into something, and that's going to push a bunch of emails and tasks and all kinds of things and you know, shots to Slack and to remind the other VAs, the other part of the team, or another team member to do something else, just taking all of that kind of all of that worry away. So you can actually kind of project manage in a click, which I think might be a slogan. So
save that. Well, okay. And of course, the other thing is, this is now 24/7 and worldwide, right? You know, depending on what you do, and of course, the key would be to set it up so that it completely functions and you're off on the beach, right? and every once in a while it pings at you and goes, James, this person needs to really talk to you. But otherwise, you know, you've set it up. And isn't that like now, you know, yes, we got into business because we love whatever it is. But the problem is we hate a lot of the stuff that comes with it. So if it can come back to, okay, I get to, like you were saying, you like still talking to people, you know, all of those things. So it does all that other stuff. And then you get back to doing what you love to do.
Yeah, exactly. So the ability to kind of automate, to make a list of the things that, to spend one day and make a list of how much time you're spending on so many different things. You find very quickly that you're spending 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, doing certain things. And because you're so used to it and it's part of your work habit, that you don't ever look into whether or not that could be.
Right. Could it be automated? You know, do you really have to respond to that email yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Or like, do I have to really find the data here? Like, is it a good idea for me to get a virtual assistant to kind of like take care some of these things? But then I'm going to have to train them in order to do this. And that's going to take forever. That might
easier for me to do it myself, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Or easier just to make a AI or automation tool, Make or Zapier to kind of do those lots of those little things.
Right.
I think in the future there'll be a lot more of these kind of Jarvis kind of things, like the big AI, like a Super Siri or something like that kind of does everything and connects everything. Something that's coming out is called Rabbit something, and that's a wearable that goes on you, and it's it basically records everything that you say, which
that's
is terrible.
A little scary.
Exactly.
And because I talk to myself and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. And it will record everything from your point of view. So it will look at something like a fridge, what's in the fridge, and then it will figure out, oh, you're missing eggs. So it'll automatically kind of tell you.
Eggs appear.
Yeah. And then your eggs appear from Amazon or something. So there's, I think that's called something like, instead of AIG, it's like AI action. So it's actually physically responding to the physical stuff rather than you giving in an input. Right. So it's again unpredictable what it's going to go down to. Right. I think one of the things to do is to keep an eye out on certain things that are in your business and your competition, see what they're doing, but also try and beat them. Like a lot of the times I've beaten my competition by simply doing something they haven't ever done and not copying them. There's only so far that I think I got this from someone who was talking about Facebook ads. And so say if you looked at a competition Facebook ad and you just copied it completely, you're going to get the same results. But if you actually try something new, like a meme or a carousel or something, you might get thousands of percent more because everyone is looking at it completely different. So, and nowadays you can make SaaSes like I did with the AI tool. I can't code. I can't do any of that stuff. It is in beta, and 100%, it works to useful enough for myself and my clients. So I know it's useful. However, it's not like I'd need to spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars or something on it to make it significant. It's important to kind of like identify the things that are in your niche and what you're doing, and know that it's not impossible to go out and do it yourself as even a bit of a test. Right. Nowadays, the walls have come down a bit. Like you said, Deb, you're like expert in website creation, and I could never have done that. My skills in design are horrific. However,
it's done for me. That's the reason it works, right?
I can get it 80% there with AI, and then I need people who can break it, and I need opinions from everyone else. Get feedback. You still need to you know, read that book Zero to One, mm-hmm. Or like any startup book about MVPs, mm-hmm. to kind of understand, mm-hmm. getting feedback and changing everything, mm-hmm. or the ability to pivot quickly. Mm-hmm. But the point is that you don't, now with AI, mm-hmm. and with all of these tools that are, mm-hmm. out there, it just makes it so much easier, mm-hmm. to create something, test it,
right.
and then put it out there, mm-hmm. and see what happens.
Yeah.
You like it.
Well, oh my gosh, James, this has been fascinating. We're going to end up going just a little bit over, I can tell.
Sorry.
But no, that's fine, because I'm like, oh my God. And actually what it means is I have to have you on again because I have more questions. But so if we haven't totally freaked somebody out and frightened them off, if they're wanting to dabble their toes and really, really, you know, try some of these things, what are some tips that you have for people?
So, use ChatGPT-4 and use YouTube as well, and just type in how to use it the most effectively. I wouldn't go in there and try it like everyone else tries it. It's better to try it with a little bit of a prompt engineering understanding. Okay. To begin with, just to simply understand how it's working. Mm-hmm. It's not a brain. It's not. I think we spoke about it earlier about, mm-hmm. it. You need to talk to it like it's a human being.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's not.
Yeah, it's a human being that forgets continuously.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's a child, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you need to explain the context of everything. Mm-hmm. Quite clearly, mm-hmm. and you need to. I think it's called a Venn diagram. You know, mm-hmm. when you,
right. mm-hmm.
when you say, yeah. something,
the,
like
the if then, person. You know, the, all, yeah. of those things.
Mm-hmm. And it's when it kind of over mm-hmm. Kind of overlaps over, it needs to be like a psychologist in trauma, mm-hmm. or something like that. So it's the sliver in between, mm-hmm. that it understands, and then it will pull the data from there. And again, throw in that kind of ranking, mm-hmm. Prompt for the next 4 months, probably until ChatGPT-5 comes,
right.
out. Use GPTs as well. They're fascinating. So GPTs are, when you get the GPT-4, mm-hmm. there's a little button that says explore, and you can basically type in anything. So you could type in social posting, and there'll be a GPT that's pre-made with an incredible prompt. Pick the best one, the one that's used the most, and go and play with that. If you want to get really advanced, you can say, what is the prompt that you that I previously said? And then you can backtrack, mm-hmm. and figure out how that was built. Mm-hmm. Then if you want to automate quickly, I would suggest using make.com and use their new AI tool, mm-hmm. where you can say, you can literally just type in anything you want, mm-hmm. and for it to come out, and build something as simple as, you know, look at this website, mm-hmm. when it updates, send me an,
wow.
email,
mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. And then I think I've got my course on content.
Yes. So tell us that, because you have, as you said, free resources. So tell us more about all of that.
Yeah, so the Content Alchemist is when I combined VAs with AI for the, mm-hmm. first time. And I spent hours and hours and hours like making all these videos trying to train them in how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the course kind of shows you how to essentially start recording videos daily, using AI as the context. So the whole... It's using certain tools to make things easier. Mm-hmm. So it used to take me 2 or 3 hours or something to edit a 5-minute video to take out all the ums and ers. Mm-hmm. So I tell in that course all the software that I use, mm-hmm. To cut them out in 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and how to improve your vocals using like Adobe. Mm-hmm. Adobe podcast software,
mm-hmm.
and loads of these like little software bits, and then how to go and get a VA and basically get them to essentially you give them all of the information,
mm-hmm.
which you could use my other free tool in order to give them that information. So essentially how I work today is I go and find a YouTube video that I love,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really interested in the topic. I take that YouTube video, mm-hmm. and I rip the transcript,
mm-hmm.
I I take the transcript and put it in my tool, and then I wait about 2 minutes and it writes the script. It writes the blog, the social post, and the newsletter all in one go. And I think if you're on the pro level, it even creates a voiceover using synthetic voiceover. Mm-hmm. And then, and all of the image prompts for every single sentence of the script. Mm-hmm. Then all I need to do from that point is edit the script a little bit, like we said. So make it you, make it personal to yourself. So put your own opinion in it. If I don't like the script, I rewrite the whole script, put it back in the tool. So the next time when I run it, it knows what we're talking about and how my tone is. And then what I do is then I have all of those image prompts. And at the moment, I just send those to my VA and or my editors. And what they do is essentially they go to all of the cool image creation tools. They create images using those prompts, then they put them in another tool and then turn them into videos, and then they put them above me and I've got this, and they put subtitles, and then I go and simply record that script. So all of that takes around 3 minutes.
See, and I was thinking days.
Exactly. And that was the whole point. And I'm working on a way to so that the image prompts can be directly put into a video, into a form, and basically output all of the videos, so that when you give it to, and it doesn't have to be my VA that you that I go and train for you, you can go and find someone on Fiverr or something like that. You give them this, you give them the simple training, and they can make an incredible video probably in about 60 minutes, I think, which is insane.
It is.
And then me personally, I record about 7 of them or something in about 40 minutes, one after the other to the camera and using a teleprompter on my phone. And boom, I've got a daily video.
Wow.
And then we use Post Nitro for the carousels and memes and things like that. And that really doesn't cost much in terms of time. But I can tell you now, we used to charge about £4,000 a month to do something the same. And I'm sure there's other companies that charge $10,000 or more.
Right.
I love it. Anyway, sorry, I know I've taken
it's so fun because you love what you do. So if we haven't completely scared people away, how do they find you and how do they connect with you?
Yeah. So if you go on powerleads.com, bottom right, that goes straight to me, the web. It goes to my team. It goes to the AI first and then to my team. James.taylor.powerleads. Also in Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook and YouTube. So all of those comes to me and comes to all of my videos. And LinkedIn as well. So
you're everywhere. You aren't the James Taylor that sings. You're the other James Taylor,
that's
right?
Why I had to put the power leads afterwards.
I love it. Well, oh my gosh, James, this really has been absolutely fascinating. And I can't wait to try some of these tools and all sorts of things. And like I said, we have to have you back on, aside from anything else, in like 6 months to see what the heck has changed, right? Because it will have changed, right? It won't be you and I chatting. It will be our avatars and, oh my gosh, because we'll be on the beach, right?
We can test to see if anyone knows it's us.
Yeah, can they tell the difference? And the sad thing would be they're probably going to look at it and go, ooh, we like the fake Deb better.
What have we done, Deb?
No, but that's all right. I'll be on the beach. I don't care. Well, until we have you on again, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave with everyone?
I think go out there and try these things. I think I said originally in the kind of the slogan or probably in this thumbnail, just to be, if you don't learn it now, your competition's going to learn it. And then sadly, I think people are going to be in the dust kind of thing. If you don't learn it now, it's not as scary as what everyone I think is saying. I know we talked about scary avatars and everything like that, but there's always going to be a solution in order to combat that. We're quite an intelligent species, so I'm sure we can go against them. But yeah, and just in enjoy, and don't, and if there's questions about an automation or something that's taking a lot of time, then come and chat to me, and I'll see if I have a tool or know of something. Like I said, I love chatting about things and solving puzzles. So please, Jeff, just message me.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having so much fun talking with James Taylor. He is the founder of POW Leads. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.